Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Megan, and Bo, is it?
That's Bo.
There you go. The doggo tax officially getting paid on the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Back to talk about free agency for day five of free agency, despite it feeling like no big names have signed for three days. So here we are.
We're into week two of free agency somehow.
Yeah, right. It's still going. And that's where I wanted to open the show, is ask you guys, this one feels extra slow. Like, normally you get to this point, there's like one or two names where it's like, yeah, they're taking their time, they're down to a couple teams. This year, it's like, oh, there's Kadri, there's Klingberg, there's Subban, there's Calvin DeHaan, there's Paul Stastny, Evan Rodriguez is out there. There's a ton of names. Like, does it feel slow to you guys too, or do you think this is kind of normal now?
For me, this is just different. There's always, like you said, Rudo, there's always a couple of those guys who are kind of stragglers. You know, like in the last couple of years, it's been like the Joe Thorntons of the league. You know, they're probably going to come back. Maybe they'll retire. Maybe they'll go to Europe. But this year, there's like high profile guys, like guys that, in the past have been no doubt day one guys. Like, the fact that someone of Nazem Kadri's like free agency status has now gone this long without a contract is, I don't remember the last time we saw something like this, where Kadri, I think maybe the second best free agent that was out there, maybe third best.
Yeah, certainly top three, I would say.
Right. The fact that he's gone this long. And then Klingberg's the other one for me that I thought that'd be a no doubt someone would throw some big money at him day one.
Well, and usually you see in those situations that guy's like usually has like a, hey, I basically have a deal worked out. I'm just waiting to sign it for whatever reason. But with Kadri, it's down to three teams. With Klingberg, no one has any idea what that guy's going to do. So it feels weird.
Well, and especially Klingberg, because I feel like I remember hearing one or two teams that were like, oh, he's guaranteed to be, they're guaranteed to be in on him. This team really likes him. This team really likes him. And yeah, like you said, just to hear nothing.
Yeah. Megan, on your side of it, this is your first one that you're actually covering. So
that's a great point, because none other have really felt like this, but I haven't been as involved at this level either. So this could be standard, but the radio silence that Jesse's kind of alluding to around Kadri specifically, but other players and big players, has been interesting to me, because there's a lot of insiders in other markets who have been able to reliably release information about other things that have happened, and now it's gone pretty quiet across the board, and I think that's been an interesting
revelation. That's the other part. It's I love that you brought that up, because I was on Twitter this morning. Wake up, you lay in bed, scroll through Twitter. There's like nothing on my feed right now.
It's empty, dude.
Empty. No, I hear these people are talking. Oh, this guy maybe has a couple options here. It's like everyone, hockey Twitter is like gone on vacation. They've all gone to the cottage and, you know, they're hard out, and it's just like nothing out there.
Yep. I guess is that the schedule? They're like, look, it's day three of free agency. This is when we leave. Doesn't matter that nobody's signed. We're out of here.
Yeah. We have the timeshare from this day to this day. We're not missing any days.
There's so many big pieces still on the table. It's hard for me to imagine they could walk away from that. It makes me feel like everyone has become so tight-lipped. Like, we had an indication that Darcy Kuemper was going to Washington before it happened, but it's just completely gone silent. And I think it's because nobody knows anything, because nobody's talking to each other.
I wonder, and this is purely speculation, to be clear. This is probably not the case. But it's a little curious that the summer after the entire expansion draft gets leaked, all of a sudden it's a lot harder to get info.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's not like the worst like argument I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, dude. Like that they did away with the legal tampering period,
which totally stopped tampering, right? Totally,
right. But to that same point, like I remember there was a couple years there where, like, it was all determined. Like everyone knew where everyone was going.
Yeah.
Agents were even like openly like, yep, we have a soft agreement in place. You know, we'll be signing that deal on July 1. So I know the league did away with that because it was like, yeah, just all the info was getting out before the day actually came around. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Is it the NHL telling people to keep it on the DL a little bit more, maybe?
Yeah.
It's and the other side of it, like, I don't blame the players for wanting a tampering period or doing it, because having security and knowing where you're going to live and where your job is and all of that, it's crazy. It's like insane to be on July 15th and some of these guys still have no idea where they're going to be playing next year.
Right.
So,
well, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. I've never seen a free agency quite like this. And to me, the even crazier part, don't know when it's going to end.
Everyone is just sitting around, at least in the Avs and it sounds like the Islanders and at least one other team's department, waiting for Kadri. Mm-hmm. And I say waiting, but, you know, allegedly Kadri's waiting for one of these teams to clear cap space. So behind the scenes, they're probably calling around and trying to do stuff.
But, like, and that to me is the weird part. I just saw a comment come through the chat saying, like, oh, well, you know, they're waiting to make a trade. Teams are trying to make a trade. That's why there's nothing out there.
But we haven't heard any trade rumors. That's so weird.
Yeah. Right. We haven't heard anything. We haven't heard anything about, oh, this guy is being shopped. This is, you know, fans have put Gerard's name out there. But, like, I have not talked to anybody who has actually linked Gerard to trade.
Yeah, there's nothing from like a reputable source that has come out about it.
And it's just so odd. It's just so odd.
All right. So Megan, clearly you need more sources is what we're learning from
this.
Absolutely.
Megan's going to be the next Bob McKenzie, confirmed.
I have a question, and it's a little off topic, but for the Avs and RFAs, none filed for arbitration, does that include the AHL type players that received a qualifying offer, like Shane Bowers and Malt?
It does. Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which I think Bowers, I think, was arbitration eligible this year.
Couple of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about the others.
Well, and I don't know. Just to before we move on, do you guys think all the RFA stuff is part of what kind of made this shake out the way that it did, was that the market just got flooded with so many mid-level decent bet guys that were RFAs that just didn't get QOs? And, like, do you guys think that maybe messed this up?
Yeah. It's weird, right? Because I think it's partially that and partially the combination of it, Kadri and a couple other guys slow playing it, right? Because if there was more information out there, I think teams would quicker realize, okay, we're out on this guy. Let's go to our plan B, which maybe wasn't at the start of free agency, like a few days before, but ended up being a guy like a Strome who went to Washington, a guy like a Stasny who's still out there. But instead of teams quickly going on to their plan B and C's, it's kind of everyone just milling around like, well, plan A hasn't said no yet. So
Right. You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, it was already heading to be weird, and then all those RFAs hit UFA, and it really spiraled it.
Yeah.
That did surprise me, because it does feel like a game of chicken, too. Like,
yeah.
The deal that Strome signed with Washington was a good deal that I almost feel like that's really competitive. I wonder what other teams would have been in on that if they'd known, but there were teams holding out on other players that are still available right now, like a Kadri, that it just affected things in a weird way.
That the Strome deal with Washington, like I you know, you obviously you want to bring Kadri back, and but like I looked at that deal and I seriously, I was like, wow, there's really part of me that just wishes Chris McFarland would have done that for the Avs. And then you have still a million and some change left over as kind of breathing room. And if you need to make changes, you can. I'm with you, Megan. I thought that was a smart, good value deal.
Again, I do wonder, and the other conversation, this, and this is one that's true every year. How many of these teams are looking at this free agency and going, you know, maybe we're better off trying to solve our problems at the trade deadline or through an in-season trade, something like that, instead of trying to walk this weird line of a weird time to be in free agency, right? We've talked about it before. A lot of these guys are like, hey, give me a 2-3 year deal, get me to the cap going up, and then pay me a lot more then. So you are stuck in this weird middle ground, I think, in the NHL right now when it comes to free agents. Is that why it's this slow? I doubt it, but maybe it's a contributing factor.
Well, I mean, how much of it, too, do you think that maybe this the landscape of the NHL is just kind of changing? Because for years, free agency has been looked at, oh, this is the one day a year GMs knowingly make a mistake. They know that what they're doing isn't smart, and, you know, they know they shouldn't be giving this much term, this much money, whatever, and now they just kind of hand it out. I wonder how much of it is analytics departments and you know, teams that are looking at this maybe a little bit deeper and saying, yeah, you know, maybe we shouldn't do something like that. And, you know, it was when Chris McFarland said the other day, look, we're going to fix the 2C spot, whether it be now in free agency or via a trade later in the year, like we'll get it taken care of. Like, I just wonder how many teams have that are starting to shift to that mentality of we're not going to do something dumb and handicap ourselves long-term. We'll figure it out as we need to figure it out.
A little bit less of a rush to get it done, at least, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, look at the Avs with their goaltending the last 2 years now, 2 years in a row. They've said, nope, we're not handcuffing ourselves for 5 years.
Yep.
We may need that money. And they're just happy to find it elsewhere. As we're seriously 5-6 years ago, do you even think twice about paying a goaltender like that? I mean, you know, you look at Sergei Bobrovsky's deal.
Yeah, that, I mean, out of the guys who actually hit free agency this year, the maybe you throw Kadri in there too, but the only guy that really a team can go out and say, yeah, this guy is part of our core indefinitely is Gaudreau, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone else in free agency you're looking at as solid or even very good, but really a peripheral piece on a team, not a piece that's going to be like the core key piece of your hockey team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Again, I mean, think about a guy like David Clarkson. Like, there's countless names where you sit there and it's like, yeah, bad free agency deal. I can't think of too many outside of the Gudbranson deal with Columbus, the 4x4, where you sit there.
The Letty one was pretty bad too, I think, for St. Louis. We'll get into that. Letty for St. Louis.
Yeah.
Which is, they brought him back, to be fair.
Right. But I mean, like, you know, I feel like it just used to be bad deal after bad deal after bad deal. Yep.
You spent the first 4 hours of free agency today just laughing at hockey games.
But to Megan's point, you know, talking about the Strome thing, like I think you saw more teams this year just give out smart deals.
It is a weird situation too, as we kind of segue into our topic of the day here. Take a look at the Anaheim Ducks. they actually went out and made some moves, and they're still $9 million below the cap floor. So they have to go out and do something. Like, they can't just be done.
Right. They've been my sleeper team for Kadri all along.
They have the money, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I know you're trying to move the conversation on from Kadri.
No. Get in what you want to get in before I do the ad break.
It's just I just find it so interesting how it's changed. And now the only report, and look, like, I've checked in with my people that, you know, I'm not the most plugged in person in the world, but I know some people that know some stuff, and like, nobody has heard anything. I've only seen this reported by one person out there, and it was Peter Baugh, who, you know, he knows his stuff. Peter's a good dude. But that, you know, that Nazem Kadri had even alerted some teams, hey, I'm looking for a contender, and you don't really, you know, fit that mold. It's just so weird. Like, is he really ruling out a team like the Ducks, who could maybe give him some money and maybe even throw him a little bit above market value because they need to get to the floor? Because they're not close enough. It's just, it's all just so peculiar.
Yeah. It's such a weird place too, because it does feel like free agency is the one area, the one time of year where hockey players break out of their mold a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the traditional hockey player, oh, it's all about the team. The team did great. Never talk about yourself. And then free agency, and it's like, okay, so Taylor Hall went and chased the money. Got it. But for Kadri, so far, sounds like he wants to go to a good team.
Yeah.
I do think that's an interesting bit of information, because you're right, outside of a couple places, we haven't really seen that reported elsewhere. But it's hard to qualify a contender in the eyes of Nazem Kadri. Like, I don't know what that means to him.
Yeah, true.
That could leave more options on the table than maybe any of us are expecting.
Yeah, what, right, like, and, you know, if he signs a six-year deal somewhere, if a team he's expecting to be competitive in a couple years is a reasonable option, compared to if he signs a three-year deal, that's a team that's got to win now, right?
Right,
right.
Yeah, is he wanting to jump onto a team and go to the conference finals this year? Or, to your point, Megan, like, is he willing to say, hey, look, I'm looking at the Ducks. If I'm going to do a six-year deal, and I think two more seasons of us kind of struggling a bit, but then by year three, we're going to be really ready to compete. Is that what he considers a contender? I don't know.
That's if you have the answer to that question, time to be an NHL insider, please. Okay. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Had a couple the other night with the gang. It was a fun time. Appreciate all y'all. Also, you can get it at your local liquor store. Go there. Go find your Breck Brew. Go to breckbrew.com. They have some swag merch out there. Also, if you haven't checked out their farmhouse, amazing little venue. You got to get out there just to see it. It's a great place to hang out, go see a show, or just have a beer. We're also brought to you, of course, by Athletic Greens. When you drink at night, you have Athletic Greens in the morning. Keeps your body going. Look, I'm 30 now. I can't quite put the beer back like I used to. Need a little pick-me-up. So Athletic Greens takes care of me there. You just one scoop in your water in the morning. Got 75 vitamins and minerals, a bunch of other probiotics, and all sorts of electrolytes and all crazy stuff to keep you going, keep you looking good, keep your immune system active. A lot of people use it for their workout routines, because it helps them with that too. So be sure to go check it out today. You can go to athleticgreens.com/avalanche to let them know we sent you over there. And of course, when you're over there, you go purchase it. Then you get a year's supply of vitamin D that comes with it, and 5 travel packs. So if you're going on the road, you can bring it with you. You can keep your routine up so you don't get all out of sorts with it. So yeah, go check out Athletic Greens today. You can take control of your health, especially helps. You probably noticed I've been sick for a while. Should have been taking my Athletic Greens. Help with the immune system. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So, wanted to talk about the Western Conference as a whole today. But it's hard to do that without talking about Nazem Kadri and just the concept of free agency isn't really done yet. Yes, we're 5 days in, but there are teams that are going to do more. It's not over yet, but we have to take a look at where teams are so far. And to be honest with you, a lot of the Western Conference has not done a lot.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know. If you're looking at winners and losers of free agency, I don't know that anyone in the West really I would qualify as a winner.
I just think every team, and right now, including the Avs, because let's say you don't, you know, you're not. Let's assume you're not bringing back Nazem Kadri. I don't think any team out West got better.
Yep, I agree. I think it's maybe pretty simple.
Maybe the Ducks.
I mean,
maybe
they at least tried, right? Like right. They went out, got Ryan Strome, got Frank Vetrano.
But I just think they're still too far behind the pack for that to be considered like a. Look, let's run through it. Megan, you were saying you were jumping on looking. Minnesota got worse. St. Louis got worse.
And the same, yeah.
Right.
Does LA have maybe potential at the top of the pack?
Yeah, LA's a good one.
They really do anything?
Who was it they brought in?
Fiala.
Fiala, thank you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. If we're going back to June, sure.
And I think some of that is them looking at the Pacific and saying, like, this is ripe for the taking. Yep. You know, so St. Louis loses their goaltending depth, loses probably their best scorer in Perron. Vegas trades Max Pacioretty for absolutely nothing. Calgary loses Johnny Gaudreau. Dallas, you're probably losing John Klingberg.
Seems like it.
You lose some of that goaltending depth. Obviously, you've got Ottinger. But, you know,
Braden Holtby. They did bring in Marchment for what it's worth.
Okay, yeah.
That's really the only thing that they did. I got Colin Miller, so I don't know how much you care about that.
Right. It's a lot of guys doing this, you know, a lot of lateral moves.
Yeah.
I don't remember what – I think it was Sportsnet I was watching the other night, and they were talking about the goaltending carousel. And they were like, it's funny to listen to all these teams saying, oh, well, we got better in goal. We're better in goal. He's like, but all these goalies just shuffled around.
Yeah, did so how you actually get better?
Right. He's like, how is it that everybody thinks they just got better when everyone's goalies just did a shuffle? So who's actually the better goalie here?
Yep.
That's
Edmonton got Jack Campbell, right? And you're like.
And to me, that doesn't move the needle at all.
Yep.
At all. Does Jack Campbell make a game of difference in that Western Conference final? I don't think so.
No, I don't feel it. So it is a little bit hard to read the West right now because of that. But let's go here, Megan. Who are the top three teams in the West today?
I'd probably still consider the Avs a top team. Blues, maybe Oilers.
Okay. Oh, really? Wow, you don't even have Vegas up there. Well, I mean, I guess they missed the playoffs. Not even a playoff team.
Some things that remain to be seen for Vegas next year.
Yeah, that also, like, how healthy is Robin Lehner? We don't know.
Yeah.
But and
what's Mark Stone's status?
True. Yeah, how's his back?
Right. You know, I mean, like we heard it endlessly from Vegas people on Twitter last year about what a real serious back injury this was. How serious is it?
And kind of the way Megan was describing the top three, you're like, yeah, okay, the Avs are the top team. You feel pretty good about that.
Yep.
And then you're like, the Blues? Edmonton?
is LA in that now?
I want LA to be a part of that because I went to bat for them a second ago as having improved. And I think they had a good first round, too. They definitely withstood pretty well.
I think LA has a very
with no Doughty.
Yeah.
They're trending in the right direction, and I do think they improved.
Yeah.
And it's just tough because you look at the West and you're like, okay, Arizona's full tanking. They want Connor Bedard. Chicago completely blew it up. They want Connor Bedard. Seattle, still Seattle. Sure, they went out and got Andre Burakovsky and some guys. So maybe do you guys think Seattle will be better next year?
I do think Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be better, especially in that division.
That you make a good point. I just, for the fourth or fifth year in a row, the Pacific just doesn't feel great.
The Pacific, I feel like, used to be so scary because you had the California gauntlet when all three California teams were really good. And then past that, it's never been great. And now the California teams just suck. And yeah.
You're like hoping LA can be the relevant one. And you're looking at Anaheim and San Jose and you're like, maybe in a couple of years, there'll be something.
Yeah, dude, we need to get Sinbin on.
Yeah, we got to bring him back.
A summer show here because very rapidly, Vegas looks like they're putting on a master class in how not to build a team.
Yeah. It's and like you knew they were going to run into cap problems, right? Yeah. Just the way they were set up. But now, boy, the hammer is coming down hard on them.
And obviously we'll see. Maybe they come out and have a great season and, you know, kind of stuff back in everyone's face. But it just seems like the wheels has started to come off relatively quickly.
Yep.
And that was all supposed to be like, yeah, we're going to go all in, win a cup, and then realize that we'll have to go through a rebuild. But they may have missed that with two of the easiest paths they'll ever get to the cup, and they blew it twice.
Yep. It's, I mean, when you take a deeper look at Vegas, I just look at their depth and I have serious questions, especially on defense, because you're Alec Martinez is 34 years old. Alex Pietrangelo is 32 and took a pretty big step back last year. Mm-hmm. You have Shea Theodore, so I guess you feel good about that. And then you're rounding out your defense with Zach Whitecloud, Ben Hutton, and Braden McNabb. Like, decent guys. But that defense, if you're not getting every ounce out of Pietrangelo and Martinez, you're in trouble.
They just they sacrifice too much to go for the big fish too many years in a row.
Yep.
You can't have five centerpieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and they've really, really struggled to get graduating prospects too.
They traded them all.
Yeah. Well, they traded away all the wrong ones, right?
Right.
So, you know, had they kept Suzuki and traded Cody Glass instead, it might be a different world, but they're still waiting on guys. And I know, you know, Brisson was a 2021 kid, but he's not there yet. Dorofeev's not there yet. And then after that, you know, the depth of their reserve list, there's not a ton there because of all those picks they moved.
Yeah. Megan, you got a pretty up close look at Henderson last year. What did you think of that? And we don't have to spend that much time on Vegas here, but to Rudo's point here, like, does it look like they've got cheap help on the way?
I wouldn't say so. Like, they were definitely competitive against the Eagles, but a lot of that was carried by Logan Thompson in net at the start of the season helping them, so they were able to try some more things in the offensive zone. Like, they have big physical D in Henderson, but that was sort of exposed in the playoffs for them, especially Patera is a good goaltender too. Like, he didn't do anything wrong, but I just don't see, like, outside of their top line, I don't see a lot coming up to help them anytime soon.
If I had a nickel for every big physical D in the AHL that just couldn't hack it at the NHL level.
In the regular season, it looked great, but then it just didn't help them. Didn't make smart choices.
Yeah. And that's, it's so hard. It is so hard to be able to play at NHL pace, both mentally and physically. So you never know with the prospect pools, of course, but there's just, I don't know. The future does not look bright for Vegas unless they put it together right now with the team they have in the NHL right now. Yeah. So let's go the other way with it. You talked about LA a little bit. Realistically, do you think there are other teams in the West that are on the way up? I know maybe they didn't get better this offseason, but are there teams putting the pieces in place to get better next year or the year after, something like that?
Megan, I'll let you start with that one.
I feel like I've kind of given my answers being LA, being I think Anaheim would be Seattle, another.
Seattle is mine.
Peek over one more time here. Yeah, those are mine.
Yeah, honestly, those three are mine as well. Like, I look, it's so like, let's kind of step back and look at it, right? So I think LA, we can all pretty much
unanimously. Like, they already started coming up at the end of this season, yep, right? Like,
that's team on the rise. Anaheim, I thought, kind of overachieved this last season, but they're going in the right direction.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised to kind of see a repeat of what they did last year, but that's okay. Seattle, I still think they're a ways away, but quickly you kind of look up and I like the foundation they've got there. They got strength down the middle.
The Martin Jones move was a little weird. Didn't love that.
Questionable.
But
questionable. I think Grubauer is a good goaltender. I kind of like their base. I still think they're a ways out, but those are my three that I think are on the upswing. And then I think you have a lot of teams, like you look at Winnipeg and that could maybe be a team, but they have to decide what they're doing. Are they trying to be on the upswing or is it time to tear it down and rebuild?
It's a great point. You've said it multiple times during the show already, Jesse, but there are a lot of teams in the West that are stuck in the middle right now.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, Calgary.
Yep.
That number, Nashville, kind of in the same spot, sort of, even though they Minnesota. Did bring Forsberg back. Minnesota, absolutely. So it's hard to read where a lot of the teams in the West are going right now. So we'll see.
Honestly, I and not to sound too much like, you know, not too homer here, too overconfident, but like, honestly, for me, it's kind of the Avs. And then you have a couple teams that, you know, are kind of hanging around, one, maybe two. Then you have that group of three teams that you'd say are on the upswing. And then I think you just have a bunch of teams not really sure what they're doing.
Yeah.
Are you rebuilding? Are you trying to be competitive?
Look, they don't call it the Calgary zone for nothing. All right.
Yeah,
just saying, but you're right. It's, and they put themselves in weird spots. Like, you look at Anaheim and you're like, all right, you know, they do have a lot of these young kids coming up. You can feel like they're in that swing, but then they go out and sign a 29-year-old Ryan Strome and throw him in front of those kids. And it's like, okay, if things go well, then you've positioned yourself with a good piece immediately, but are you blocking your guys a little bit?
Right. It's I think a bunch of teams have made moves that made you question where they were at. They go, okay, I know what the Kraken are doing. They're building for the future. 5.5, Andre Burakovsky.
Right.
Five years. It's like, all right. I mean, I like Berkey. I think he's a good player. I think, you know, whatever. But, and then, you know, you just mentioned Anaheim, Ryan Strome. Yep. LA is the only one, I think, of those teams on the rise that are making, like, consistent
logical moves.
Yeah. Coherent moves.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. Like, even Dallas, who is like, okay, they went out in Marchment. That's a solid player.
Right.
But you signed a guy for 4 years, and your core is Tyler Seguin at 30, who can't skate anymore. Jamie Benn, who 33, who might not be able to play hockey anymore.
Yeah.
Joe Pavelski at 38. Like, that team is ancient at this, but you have Ryan Suter on the back end at 37. And it's like, you can't keep getting away with these guys.
Yeah.
And eventually you have to turn it over to the kids, and they just haven't really. I guess they have Gurionov and Hintz, but Robertson. They need more than that. Yeah, Robertson, that's fair. So that's more than I thought. But even still, your second line is the old folks' home at this point.
I don't know.
Where are they going? What's the next step for that team? Is it to just ride the old dudes into the dirt? Or can they go out and get some youth? Yeah. We are brought to you by FOCO. You can go over to FOCO.com to get all of your licensed merchandise for all of the teams here in Colorado. But, you know, the Evs championship merch is the best right now. Let's just be honest about that. Championship merch better than any other sports merch. Confirmed. Look at that. Allie's got them on right there.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Love that. Great shirt.
Yeah, that's kind of sick. I'm all about that.
Thanks.
So go over to FOCO.com today. Get over there, especially if you're a bobblehead lover like D-Line. They have tons of bobbleheads that you can add to your collection. A bunch of other stuff as well, including like Crocs, which is a weird one to me. But, if you want Crocs Avalanche shoes, you can jump on it over at FOCO. We're also brought to you by Avoca TV. If you want to watch Altitude next year, they have it for you. Super easy to use, just $15 a month for the first 3 months when you use code DNVR. Go over to avoca.tv/DNVR. That's EVOCA.tv/DNVR. It's a little box, plugs right into your TV, sets it up, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about trying to stream anything or do anything awkward. Has Altitude, has AT&T Sportsnet, has national channels. So that's literally all of the sports in Colorado completely covered. You can watch all of your teams, all of that amazing stuff. Excuse me. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. I did want to talk about the Avs a little bit and get your guys' opinions. Obviously, knowing the Kadri thing isn't done, the Avs are likely to do something more. But so far, are you happy with what the Avs done? Are you content with them essentially just going out and keeping as many of their guys as they could? Or did you want to see them do a little bit more, be a little bit more aggressive?
Megan?
I think I'm overall pretty satisfied because there were pieces I definitely wanted them to have back. I wanted them to have one of the two between Cogliano and Helm. Maybe in a perfect world, if they had kept just one of them, that would have been an opportunity to bring someone else in their place. But I like both of them. I like what they bring to the table. And then similarly, I really did feel it was important for the Avs to bring Manson back. I just didn't like a lot of the right D that was available in the market at the time. So I thought that was a wise choice too. The goaltender tandem situation, especially seeing how the rest of that shook out, felt very cost effective. Obviously there's a little bit of risk involved, but some of the big people that I wanted to remain on this roster are still there. We expected Lehkonen to be back, Nichushkin, that kind of thing. So overall, really happy with how it shook out. I didn't necessarily want them to go out and shake things up. It would have been at the expense of someone like Valeri Nichushkin. It would have been happening because he didn't come back. And so I don't know that I would have liked that risk any better. Overall, very happy.
She nailed it. Honestly, that's exactly how I feel. Like, but I'll take it even a step further. When you were talking about Manson coming back, I kind of looked at this free agent market and you're like, yeah, there's a guy like Giroux at the top. If you can add a guy like that, great. Johnny Gaudreau at the top, cool. Once you get into like the more realistic options, like I'm just looking down and I said, I like what the Avs have. If you can just bring that back, I think that's better than the options that are out there. Getting new guys in, bringing new guys into the locker room, getting new guys integrated into the system. You're essentially the roster that won game six is essentially being run back. We're still waiting on the 2C spot with Nazem Kadri, but you're essentially saying, cool, the team that got it done in game six in Tampa, let's just go do it again. I like the gamble in net. I think it's a high upside, low risk bet that you'll have to wait to see the payoff. But I think they're happy with their team D and their D core. And they say, we don't need anyone to be great. Just go back there and be good. And I like it.
I want to dig a little deeper into the Manson conversation, because if you go look out there for right D right now in free agency, your options are PK Subban, Anton Strahlman, Calvin DeHaan, John Klingberg. Now, shelve Klingberg for a second.
Yep.
Those other three guys really have no interest in taking any of them over Manson. It's not like there was a wealth of riches out there, basically, on the D side.
No, and you might have had to pay for an upgrade, like if we went after Klingberg kind of thing. So well,
And not only would it cost more, this is where you have a stylistic conversation. Does Klingberg do a lot of the things the Avs do well? Absolutely. At what point is their decor too much of the same thing? And that's where I think they saw, you know what? Josh Manson comes in and brings something that the rest of our D doesn't. He can play that physical game defensively. He obviously did a great job of it in the playoffs. And it, specifically how well he paired with Sam Girard when Girard was healthy. It's a tough sell even on Klingberg as a replacement for that for me.
Manson just, he filled that spot in the exact way you wanted him to. I can't remember which one of you just said it, but like, he's different than what the Avs have on D, but he provided enough of what they want them to provide, jumping him into the play, getting pucks through, generating some offense. He did everything that you wanted him to do in the 3 months he was with the Avs last season. And I just think that it was just too good of a fit on both sides, Manson with the Avs and then the Avs with Manson, for them to let that one go, especially for some of those options out there. Even a guy like Klingberg, Megan, to your point, that you'd probably have to pay a little bit more than what you're paying Manson to get, when I actually think Manson's maybe the better fit.
I think it might be more than a little bit more, too.
Yeah.
We talked about Lucas Sedlak and Ben Myers, like, separate from free agency. This lineup looks different next year because there's additions that came about unrelated to free agency.
Yeah, great point. Great point with Ben Myers, especially because that's
excited about Ben Myers.
Well, and there's no doubt there, right? The Avs were like, yep, we got this guy and we're putting him in the NHL immediately. So you know that dude has a roster spot at this point.
Yep.
So it is a really good point that there are other ways to make your team better.
And they got a good nice little look at him. You know, we got a nice little preview on Ben Myers last season. So it's not a complete unknown. Obviously, it was 3 or 5 games or something like that. So pump the brakes a bit. But, you know, like we got a good look at him. You like what you saw and you feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we really settling on St. Louis as the only real competition in the Central for the Avs?
I'm not putting them that in the Central.
Yeah. I'm curious where you guys feel about Nashville. Honestly, that's the one team that we haven't really talked about much.
That's honestly how I kind of feel.
Some iffy looks on the cameras is how you feel about Nashville.
Look, we just saw these two teams go head to head.
Yeah.
UC Saros wasn't in there. Maybe that makes a game of difference. Maybe it's 4-1 instead of a clean sweep. But you know, Connor Ingram, like, he played fine. You know, I didn't think outside of that first one, that game one, I didn't think there was any game where you were like, yeah, you can just really tell the goaltending cost him. I thought Connor Ingram was solid.
Do you feel better about them with Ryan McDonagh?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're a little bit better defensively, but the comment that just came through, like, that's a lot of career years you hope repeat.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are you going to get 40 out of Matt Duchene again?
Right. And like, maybe you are, maybe, but Cliff? I don't know. I'm not putting my eggs in that basket. I just, to me, like Ryan McDonough, like that's a nice ad for them, but I don't know if their defense was ever the issue.
Fair enough. It's just so hard to call their offense the issue with the year that they had in the regular season, sure, at the very least.
Right. Yeah. Those were entertaining games between the Avs too.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was they were not an easy put away by any stretch of the imagination, but again, it doesn't feel like the Avs necessarily got better, but they didn't get any worse than anyone else in the division did. Right. So, and again, the bottom of this division is just going to be awful. Arizona and Chicago are going to lose 50 games each. So,
yeah. Well, I was saying that's going to be, because when I was sitting there kind of running through the Central, I think Winnipeg could maybe flip the switch and go to a rebuild. Arizona, Chicago are clearly in a rebuild, and you're already that's already half the other teams in the division.
Yep.
Minnesota and Nashville, I think, are kind of middling, and St. Louis is the only one that I think you could say is on the other side of that. We'll see how their goaltending holds up.
I mean, it does feel like you're going to get to the midpoint of the season and you're going to see these teams decide, okay, we need to go for it, or okay, we need to sell stuff off. So depending on how the first, like, yeah, October, November, December, depending on how those shake out, you could see the Central Division either get real bad or see some teams get real aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting is a great way to put it. I don't have a ton else other to say about this free agency. Again, it's been surprisingly slow, but is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on?
I've got the same amount to say as my Twitter feed. Whole bunch of nothing.
A lot of nothing.
And, okay. and we're just in this, we're waiting for the next domino. It's very rare that you have like two sets of dominoes for free agency. Yeah, that really does, yeah, just kind of feel like we're stuck. Once Kadri goes, all the rest will go, and we'll have three more hours worth of stuff to say. But right now, it's just kind of like, it's hurry up and wait.
Well, and that's the thing with these dominoes. It's like, we could get off the show and Kadri could sign 5 minutes later.
Right, right.
Or
right.
It could be July 25th.
Yeah.
And no one signs still. Yeah, no one wants that. I don't think anyone wants that. I'm ready to get it over with. But
it's in the back of my mind with every planning event that I have right now. Like, oh, do you want to go get lunch? Yes.
I need to leave.
Yeah. And just check my phone before I leave for lunch, checking my phone before I order. And it's just, I'm not like stressed over it, but it's just interesting. I'd like a little bit of clarification.
Okay. Pod poll. Is Kadri an Av by the end of this week? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Megan?
I'm going to say yes, to be contrarian.
All right. I'm going to leave Megan on an island.
You are the deciding vote.
No, I'm leaving Megan on an island. I'm saying no. I don't think it happens.
I'm saying yes. So she's
okay. We're split. That
sounds like a great DNVR Avalanche Twitter poll.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. Although chat is coming hard with the no's right now.
That makes me feel better about the yes. I'm going to feel so smart if it does happen. Like, I saw it, guys. I called it. Yeah.
The no's came in, and when Allie came back, her hair was like more disheveled than before. Yeah,
I'm
and we should say happy birthday,
I'm
Allie. We're hoping for a Kadri signing on your birthday.
Yeah, man, there you go. Adds up. A birthday wish. Okay. We are going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all y'all in chat. It's on. Oh, we do have one super chat to get to. I almost forgot. $5 from Berkeley here, who says, no rush on this one. If you were Arizona, how much would you need to be compensated for signing Kadri for a 7x4 and trading him to the Avs, retaining however much money? A lot.
Another first and a third?
Yeah.
It becomes a conditional second or something like that.
I mean, it's the first for sure, right? And then whatever throw in beyond that is...
That's an interesting one because I almost wonder if... I wonder if the league would step in at that point and be like, no, you can't do that. Because that's honestly not a terrible idea. That's not a terrible suggestion. If you can get a team involved and be like, hey...
I don't know. Like, basketball does that shit all the time, so...
Do they? It's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
I'm here for it. But that's also, like, if you're in Kadri's camp, that's a little sketchy, where it's like the Avs call you up and they're like, okay, let Arizona sign you.
And right, we'll right, right.
For you. Trust us.
Trust us.
It'll be fine. Yeah, sign-in trades... You still happen in the NBA all the time. Can still happen here. But I anyway.
I'll say, I might do some digging on that to see.
Yeah. Someone in chat saying you can't sign with retention or trade with retention the first year, which could be true. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know the CBA that well. Either way, I would surmise that it's very, very unlikely that that happens in reality.
But I like the idea. Like, I like the thought.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to wrap up the show for today. We're going to be looking at the East tomorrow, which actually did interesting stuff in free agency. So that should be fun. Please tune in for that one. Got some other stuff coming this week. It sounds like we're doing a mailbag for TDSP. So hit up Allie. Send her some questions for that.
Yeah, send me some questions.
There you go.
It'll be a fun one.
Other than that, we're out of here. We appreciate all of you, and we will talk to you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.